All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? The Holy Communion is the most intimate thing that we have with Jesus. This is coming together with Him. This is a special moment in life if you'll take advantage of it. You are really making a personal effort and stepping forward into closeness with Him. And Jesus said to take this as often as you will. So you don't have to wait to get to church to take communion. You can take communion daily if you want. You can take it 2 or 3 times a day if you want. The thing is this is God's medicine for you. You know, people will do exactly what a doctor tells them to do. The doctor will tell them to take this medicine 3 times a day with milk. They'll take it 3 times a day with milk. Jesus said, take this as often as you will. And they managed to take it the first Sunday of the month or once or twice a year or whenever they get to church. But Jesus said, take it as often as you will. Paul said that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So that we know that if we discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing and well-being in our body. But the way to discern the body of Christ is to specifically look at this bread, the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ. And discern what happened to His body. The first thing we need to notice is that this bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant sin in the Bible. And Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake. Also, you'll notice that this bread has been beaten flat. The Bible tells us that He was beaten and bruised for us. Also, you'll notice that this bread has stripes in it. And it's by His stripes we were healed. You'll notice that this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And we get redemption in some area for that. You know, Jesus never shed blood by accident. He never spilled His blood. It was shed on purpose for us. You'll also notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. He took all of our sins, He took all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, all of our weaknesses. He took the full brunt of the curse. He took what we deserved so that we can take what He deserved. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure that it never died. It never dried up. It's still doing what God sent it to do. It's washing away our sins. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so we qualify for all of His blessings because of what Jesus did. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into His throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank You for this, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. I want you to open with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. But I want you to say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it before we read this verse. The Bible is the true word of God. What the Bible says about me is the truth. What the Bible says I can do is the truth. And what God has done to me is more powerful than anything the devil could. Now say this verse out loud with me. Read along with me. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want you to know that there's not one example given in the Bible of one who remained powerless to do what God called him to do after that the Spirit came upon him or her. When God gives you the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you get endued with power. You are now qualified and powered up to do exactly what God called you to do. Sometimes it may look like a big challenge. But see, here's the thing. God's not going to call you to do something that you can't do, but He's not going to call you to do something that He's not going to do with you. See, He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that won't accept that truth. I've seen a lot of people that have been called to go places, and they would go there, and they'd stay there for a little while, and they'd show back up. And they'd say, oh, that wasn't God. Things just was not working. Things didn't go the way we expected. It wasn't God. Well, no, it was God. But the devil was there, and he got in the way, and they decided that things weren't lining up with the picture they had painted in their mind. So they came back to where they started. You know, we as people have this habit of getting our little planner out and deciding how things are going to go. But we do it in everything. And a lot of times, if things don't go the way we want them to go, then we just scratch it and go do something else. You know, that's not God's way of doing things. He may call you to go someplace, and then, you know, we start painting these pictures in our minds of how glorious it's going to be. You know, God has this habit of sending us into war zones, disaster areas, you know, places where there's wreckage, challenges, places where there's darkness. And then people get there and they say, well, this isn't God. Well, yeah. Well, why would God do that to me? He didn't do anything to you. He sent you to to go be a light in a dark area. This is a challenge. I had a big, long, several months long conversation with God over this. Because he asked me to come down here to look at this church and where we were. The clover was this tall and the grass was this tall. It was green. It was wonderful. We had our own house. Had a company pickup. Had a nice job. Had a church I loved. I mean, this was like a paradise. It was a wonderful place. And then God said, go down here and check this out. So I came down here. And then right after that great big fire, and if it wasn't black, it was brown, and this town looked like a bomb went off. You look around, and there was just stuff tore up everywhere. There was stuff burning up. It was a mess. And I went home, and I said, God, I'd prayed about this for a long time. Finally, one day, I got up to go to work, and I went through the gate, got on the road, and I just said it finally. I said, God, I finally got in a place where I'm in the blessing. I got a great job. I got a nice house. We got a wonderful area, a church I love. And I'm finally in a place where I'm in the blessing, and you want me to go down to Texas? And he said, the blessing's in you. Then I got a good revelation. The kingdom of God is inside of you. The blessing goes with you. Wherever you are, the blessing goes with you. So then I had a little more comfort about moving to the war zone. You know, God will provide a way. He comes up with the game plan. He'll figure out a way to make it happen. You know, he made sure we had the finances to get down here. He made sure that we had a blessing to get down here. He got us a place to live. And then he got us a forever home. But see, when I started looking around, I thought, my God, what a mess. What a mess. So then, the only thing I could do is rely on God. See, that's where God wants us. See, I didn't have any connections. I didn't have any prospects. Didn't know anybody. Only God. He's the only one that could pull this off. See, that's what happened to Peter. See, there was 12 disciples in that boat. In that storm, when Jesus had come, you know, all of those 12 heard that word, and Peter is the only one that jumped out of the boat. He jumped out of the boat and he started walking on water. And then he started sinking. He got to looking at the wind and the waves and he started sinking. But he did the smartest thing he could do. He said, Jesus, save me. That's a great prayer. Don't ever forget that one. Well, what happened? Peter and Jesus walked back to the boat. See, Jesus wants us to get out there so far where our own resources, our own talent, our own money, our own strength, our own knowledge, our connections, nothing can save us but Jesus. And then he'll step in and get the job done. And then the only thing we could do is say, well, by his grace, his thank you, Jesus, because he's obviously the only one that could get this deal done. See, that's where God wants us. He wants us to get out there so far in the middle of it to where he's the only one that can do it. So we call on the name of the Lord Jesus and we watch him show up and show off. But see, here's the thing. He anointed us. He endued us with power to do these things. It's still him doing it. Now, always remember John chapter 14, verse 12. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. You know, he says you'll do even greater things than he did because he goes unto the Father. So if he said we could do even greater things, then we can at least do the things that he did. It may look like a huge mountain in your way, but with God, all things are possible. You've been anointed for such a time as this. You know, there's people running around saying that they were born 100 years too late. No, you were born right on time. God created you for this very time and day. And then he anointed you to be able to thrive in this time. You are anointed. See, there's a lot of people waiting for some special anointed preacher to come from some distant state or city or country or wherever. They're waiting for this anointed preacher to come to a city near them so they can go pay them $100, get into one of their big meetings and receive from God. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're anointed to do the same things that preacher's called to do. See, number one, you to the poor. That means the destitute and the needy. You know, you look in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means everybody. Everybody qualifies to hear the gospel. In fact, I heard one guy say, everybody deserves to hear the gospel at least once, and nobody deserves to hear it twice before everybody gets to hear it once. You know, Jesus said to go into all the world. He told that to the original apostles there. Said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. They made it to the city limits. Did you know that's as far as they made it? Until the Roman Empire scattered them, started persecuting them, and then they went into all the world. And they started going all over the place. You know, sometimes it takes a cattle prod to get us moving. But know this. If he told you to go somewhere, he didn't tell you to go there alone. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where he tells you to go, he's right there with you. No matter how dark the situation may seem, he's there with you. And he sends you to dark places so he can get some light into the situation. You know, everybody wants to go to the bright place. They want to go to the church, and they want to shout hallelujah, and they want to be in the big meetings. They want to have fun. You know, they want to be, and those are good things, and it's fun to do that. But also, he wants you to take your light into the dark places. You know, a lot of people like to pre-qualify who they're going to witness to. You know, when I was in Bible school, you know, there were some people, they said, well, I'm called to go to the PBR. And some said, I'm called to go to the PRCA. I actually had one guy tell me one time, he was called to preach to the extremely rich. And here I am, hanging out at the county jail, going down on the flats, preaching to winos, witnessing to winos. And I was thinking, man, what am I called to do? Is this what I'm called to do? Yeah, going to all the world and preach the gospel. Everybody needs to hear the gospel. Everybody needs a chance to get born again. That's what Jesus said. You know, the next part of that verse says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives and recovering sight to the blind. Deliverance to captives? Yes, you know, there are people that are held captive in sin. People that are held captive in sickness. There's people that are held captive to death. There's living people that are being held captive to death. People sitting in church every Sunday that are held captive to death. I ran into people that were so afraid to die. Christians. They were so afraid to die that they couldn't receive healing for their body. I want you to look at something. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, right there, that next verse says, verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. I mean, he took on flesh and blood. He walked in our shoes. Now look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, sometimes it's good for people to look death right in the eye and say, you have no power over me. My body may perish, but my spirit is going to live forever. People get really, really sick. They need to do this. say, if something happens to me, I'm in the presence of Jesus immediately. I win. If I stand in faith and beat this attack, I win. Either way, I win. See, get the fear of death out of the way so you can receive God's abundance. You've already, all Jesus has already done all the dying that needs to be done. And your old man has been nailed to that cross. Now you live forevermore with him. You're in him now. I know we always like to say he's in us, and he is. But we are in him. Our lives are buried in him. We got baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ. We are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is in us. Now, we don't die. We just change addresses. We need to make sure we got the right address. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you got the right address. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Now, we can look this square in the eye here. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Did you notice that? An earthly address. Not a heavenly address, an earthly address. Jesus of Nazareth. With the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, that ties in with Luke chapter 4, verse 18. God is with you. You're anointed. And Jesus will heal all that come to him. And he'll do it through you. Remember, he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I know this is bold and exciting stuff to some people. And some people think that it's really out there. But this is everyday living for a Christian. This is our calling. And it's not us that's doing the healing. Jesus does the healing. All we got to do is pray for people. Lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. We do the asking. He does the doing. How cool is that? Move on to the next one here. You know, another thing we've been called to do is to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See, this is a period that's typified by the year of Jubilee. Remember Luke chapter 4, verse 18, says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It's a time when liberty was proclaimed to all people. See, on the Day of Atonement. I've been talking a lot about Jubilee the last couple years. See, every day we go, we're one step closer to Jesus. You got to know that. You know, as far as I can see, there's a timeline in the Bible from Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. From Abraham to Jesus was 2,000 years. And here we are in the year 2025. And we're waiting for a millennial reign, which is the 7,000 year. Well, there's a period of 1,000 years, but it's the 7,000th year. You know, our calendar got changed. You know, originally, the original calendar, the calendar we're supposed to be on has 13 months in it. But it got changed. See, a lot of stuff that we deal with has been monkeyed with and altered. So we're not absolutely convinced. You know, there's some people that are pretty close, but where we are exactly on a whole timeline. But you got to know that it's 2025. We got to be pretty close. We got to be pretty close. God had specific ideas and rules about the Jubilee. The Jubilee was a time where people got set free from debtors. Now do you understand why we haven't heard a lot about Jubilee? See, this world has been controlled by some very evil people for a long time. People that control the money, big banks, big bankers, and they have controlled everything. And they're not going to talk to you about Jubilee because they don't want you to live free. They want you to stay in debt slavery. Always pay attention to what you're hearing. Pay attention to what you're hearing. We have politicians that are saying things, and, you know, we get used to just hearing people rattle. But you need to pay attention because even the good politicians slip good things our way. The other day, the Department of Justice said, they're no longer going to recognize the Bar Association as far as picking Supreme Court justices. Now that just, if you just listen to that and just say, well, okay, what are they going to recognize? They're going to recognize the original Constitution. Because the Bar Association has the maritime and admiralty law tied to it. So if they're not going to recognize that, they're going back to the original Constitution, which they're talking about liberty for the people. They're talking about Jubilee time, setting people free. It's going to be an exciting time. See, when the atonement of Christ is fully embraced, the sick, the sinful, the helpless, and the needy are restored. Health, holiness, power, and prosperity in full dominion over Satan are realized. And membership and communion in God's family. See, there's a lot of things that are about to ready to happen, and we need to be awake and ready to receive, ready to participate in it. See, we need to be on our toes. We need to be ready. There's going to be big changes happening. You know, Florida has already legalized using gold and silver as legal tender. Texas is working on it. That means a return to God's way of doing things. See, silver and gold is God's money. That's freedom for American people. That means a stepping away from the devil's system. How cool would that be? To live life without having the IRS trying to steal 50 or 60% of your money. Not have the Federal Reserve dictating what you can and can't do. See, his jubilee is coming. We are in the process of being set free. We need to bring as many people possible. We need to bring them with them. You know, one thing he said, recovering a sight to the blind. Now, there are people running around that physically can't see. They got to use a cane. And we pray for them, they can receive their sight. There's spiritually blind people running around that can't see what's going on. And they need the truth told to them. You know, there's people that are running around that don't know the full gospel. And they're relying on man's doctrine to get them where they need to be. I don't know if you've noticed that there are politically blind people running around. And don't think that just because they are Republicans that they have their sights open. There's a lot of Republican people that are running around just as blind as the Democrats. Because they don't have any idea what's going on. God is moving in such a way that he's going to set the whole world free. But we've been told for so long, this is the law. This is the way we're going to do things. You know that God is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We belong to a whole different kingdom. And you can have every single Supreme Court justice vote one way, and if God says no, it's not going to be their way. God is sovereign. And he is going to have his way on this earth. And there's no court in America that is powerful enough to overtake God. America is coming to that realization. God is having his way in this country. It's really cool when you start seeing whole states say we're going to say a prayer before school every morning. So kids get to class and they get to say a prayer. Kids get to class. I remember this when I was a little kid. See, they had stopped praying by the time I got to school. But when I was in first grade, when we got to class, first thing we'd do was the Pledge of Allegiance. See? And then that kind of went away. But it's all coming back. This is going to be a glorious place to live. Healing is going to be a whole lot easier for people. Health is going to be a whole lot better for people. Finances are going to be a lot better. It's going to be a good place to live. You can live in peace. Peace and harmony. We got a little ways to go. Don't get frustrated, but it's going to happen. But see, you have been anointed to heal. Now, I know it, Jesus, he does the healing, but see, he still needs you. You are the body of Christ. The head's not going to go one way and the feet another way. The hand has to be hooked to the arm. The arm has to be hooked to the shoulder. Shoulder has to be hooked. Everything is one. See, Jesus, he's going to heal people, but he's going to do that through you. And he's going to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, he has sent you to heal the brokenhearted. Anybody know any brokenhearted people? There's a lot of brokenhearted people. There's a lot of people that have had losses that they can't deal with. And they need to know that Jesus is the only one that can fill that void. Nothing else can do that. And Jesus will. And that's one thing about the Holy Communion. You can ask Jesus to come deep inside of you and heal your heart. You know, there's people that are broken in mind and soul. We all know some of them. We all know somebody who suffers from PTSD. Some of them have had traumas that are so horrific that they can't deal with them. Sometimes it's just a simple word. One time I told a veteran, I walked up to him and I said, God loves you. And he said, how could God love me? I said, oh, we got a conversation here. I said, because he does. He said, I killed people. Or I said, wait a minute. I said, weren't you a veteran? He said, yes. And I killed people. How could God love me? And I said, well, first of all, you got things mixed up. He said, thou shalt not murder. They monkeyed with the commandments. Said, thou shalt not kill. That's not what God said. Did you know you can't have a God of mercy without having a God of war? Sometimes it takes strong people to go into areas to set people who are all oppressed free. See, sometimes there'll be a bully somewhere that's overpowering people and they're not strong enough to get free from it. Sometimes they need somebody to come in there and help them. Amen? There are certainly people that are broken in body. There's a lot of people running around that are wounded in body. Remember, Acts chapter 10:38 says that Jesus healed all that were oppressed to the devil. The blind in body, soul, and spirit, those are in darkness. You know, there's a lot of people that are living their lives in darkness. A lot of them show up in church every Sunday. And they seem to be pretty normal. But in reality, they're living their lives in darkness. They don't know they can live free. Different things haunt them. We better stop there because we're not going to get through the next part. So. So we'll pick this up next Sunday. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is here. We thank you for his anointing that is upon us. And we thank you that whatever you ask us to do, you've given us the equipment to do it. And we thank you that no matter what it is you tell us to do, we're not alone. That you'll always be there with us, because you said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we really thank you that it's Jesus that's doing the doing, and all we got to do is do the asking. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have snacks and coffee and fellowship back here. Come back and have some.